But that is not always the case. But Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport here that this is actually the standard. One must know the truth from the perfect source, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, as Srila Prabhupada explains, if one is sincere, then that quality of sincerity ultimately brings about the success of one's endeavors. In other words, one will understand everything in Krishna consciousness based on the principle of sincerity. One has to be sincere. And so, sincere means to go to the supreme source of knowledge, that is Krishna. So Krishna's words are in Bhagavad Gita, and the words of his pure representatives are in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have directly the words of the Lord, coming directly from the Lord, or directly from the Lord through his bona fide representatives. So one has to accept that, of course. Some people may interpret this verse to say, well, we don't need a guru. We can just worship the Lord, hear from the Lord. You can get knowledge from the Lord, but the process of realizing that knowledge comes through the process of rendering service. And service is given by the Lord through his representatives, the bona fide spiritual master. So the bona fide spiritual master, as is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, is non-different than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the sense that he is given exactly what Krishna is saying. So by following his instructions, then one ultimately is getting the, it's called direct, shakshat. Shakshat dharetu nasamasta sastaya. That the spiritual master is directly the representative of the Supreme Lord. It's not indirect, it's direct. Because this bona fide spiritual master is a pure transcendental medium of transparency. And therefore that knowledge is not anyway inhibited because of his purity. Knowledge is coming direct from him, to him, from him, and to him and from him. So it's just like if you stick your finger in an electric socket, you're going to get an electrical shock. Now, the source of that shock or power is many miles away from you. But you're getting that power directly because all the lines are hooked up to the electrical units. And the current is directly coming. So by contacting that unit, you get direct current. So in the same way, the bona fide spiritual master is directly giving the knowledge of transcendence, which is coming directly from the Lord. But here, Prabhupada gives a certain qualification that one has to be sincere. That if one is sincere, then everything will be ultimately understood. And what does it mean to become sincere? In other words, one has to want that more than anything else. If the living entity wants devotional life and something else, then that something else will make it very difficult to understand devotional life and Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have to want Krishna first. We have to want devotional service first. We have to want knowledge first. That has to be our number one desire. And the intensity of that desire brings about the results. The more you want it, and how bad you want it, the faster you realize it and the faster it comes. Srila Prabhupada tells one story of one man who approaches a spiritual master. So he says, "Dear Guru Maharaj, please give me knowledge. I want to become your shiksha. I want to become your disciple." So the spiritual master takes him by the hand and leads him to the banks of the river. And then he starts to walk into the river holding his disciple. They go out about waist deep, and then at that point the spiritual master grabs the head of the disciple and he dunks him underneath the water. And he's holding his head underneath the water. And the disciple's struggling. He's struggling. And then finally, practically when he's just about ready to die, he brings him up and he breathes air. So it's like that air becomes, it's the only thing he can think of is that air. And the only thing he wants is that air, nothing else. If you try to give him millions of dollars right then, you want the air more. So Prabhupada uses that example. And the man, the shiksha, the disciple said to the spiritual master, "Why did you do that?" He said, "When you want Krishna as bad as you want that breath of air, then you can get Krishna." So the example illustrates that we have to want Krishna bad, more than anything else. And that intensity of desire brings Krishna's mercy. If we are mundane or lax or lazy or just routine in our devotional service, we can't get Krishna. We have to be enthusiastic. Rupa Goswami explains that there are six means for getting Krishna consciousness. And the first one is utsahan. Utsahan means enthusiastic. Enthusiasm means to endeavor with intelligence, to apply the knowledge in an intelligent way as one's consciousness. In other words, moment to moment we have to apply the instructions of the Lord for our daily activity. That is enthusiasm. So one always has to be enthusiastic. We see that when someone wants devotional life, or someone wants something else, sometimes they get something else. Sometimes even people approach pure devotional service, but they don't want it. They want something else. Just like I was speaking yesterday, how sometimes people came to Srila Prabhupada and said, "Swamiji, can you give me your blessings?" And Prabhupada said, "You don't want my blessings." "No, no, Swamiji, I want your blessings. Please give me blessings, give me blessings." And Prabhupada said, "I bless you that your material life will be finished." And then he walked away. One rich man. And the man just crashed against the wall. And so sometimes people come to Krishna conscious, but they want something else. They want material things. And Krishna says, "That's fine. You might as well come. If you want these things, come to me anyway. But you won't get me. You'll get these things." But see, what Krishna does is that he tricks you. He tricks. See, not too many people like to worship Krishna. Most people like to worship the other aspects of the Godhead because they don't talk about surrender so much. You know, so many yogis, so many swamis, so many sadhus. Yes, you can have your material life and you can also be spiritual. You don't have to change anything in your life. Just take this mantra. That's all. Be the same. Be who you are. And it's okay. Just give me some dakshin, that's all. And go on. But what happens? Prabhupada says there's the cheated and the cheated. Cheaters and the cheated. And there's a class of people who are cheaters. They go out looking for people to cheat. And there's a class of people who want to be cheated. And these class of people who want to be cheated, they're led to the cheaters. Because Krishna fulfills all desires. When someone wants something cheap or something less, they get just that. Krishna gives them a cheating guru. And what happens? They get cheated. And then supposedly they learn a lesson. Next time they don't get cheated. Or sometimes they go on and get cheated again. And you'll find that's the majority of the case. But when we come to Krishna consciousness of pure devotional service, ultimately the goal is to develop love of God. And therefore, the process has to be understood completely. That gradually, through the process of purification, we relinquish our attachments to this material world. Because ultimately, material attachments are what blocks our relationship with Krishna. That's all. There's no other blockage in our relationship with Krishna except our material desires and material attachments. So we have to gradually purify ourselves through the process of devotional service. But we have to want that more than anything else. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that one of the offenses to chanting the holy names of the Lord is to chant inattentively. And chanting inattentively can be understood as can be done in an indifferent way, in a lazy way, and in an attached way. So he explains that one of the symptoms is of inattentive chanting is one is lazy. One is just fingering the beads and chanting the mantra, and the mind is going everywhere, and one is just going along. But it's explained that one has to endeavor, force the mind to hear the sound vibration. So japa is a battle. If you don't find yourself struggling in the mornings chanting your japa, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. If you're just going along and just chanting and looking around and doing this, you're not getting anything out of that mantra, hardly anything. Japa is a struggle, it's a battle. It's an endeavor to keep that mind focused on that sound vibration. It's a meditation. And Krishna says, Chanchalahima Mana Krishna. You know. No, Arjuna says, Chanchalahima Krishna Pramati Balavadra. Tashyaham Nigamanya Maye Vayar Idam Sadhuskaram. And Arjuna is asking Krishna about the nature of the mind. He says, I think the mind is strong, unsteady, obstinate, and very difficult to control. I think if you ask me to control the wind, I think it's easier than controlling the mind. You ever try to control the wind? The greatest power in the material energy is the wind. Wind power is so powerful that scientists, if they can harness that power, all their energy needs would be solved. But they can't control the wind, because the wind is not in Krishna's direction. The wind is so strong, it can blow an entire city down to bits. It can blow New York City right off the face of the earth if it wants. You know, this, not long ago we have these hurricanes. Hurricane, was it Dennis? Hurricane, well, that's the some of the one. Andrew, what's some of the more recent ones? Hurricane. Huh? Hurricane Hugo. I remember just last year, you know, hurricanes usually hit off the coasts mostly. Sometimes they come inland, but usually they hit off the coastal cities. So last year there was these hurricanes hitting Florida. And Florida always gets hit with hurricanes. People go to Florida because they think, oh, Florida's so nice. Warm weather on 24, you know, 12 months a year. It's so nice, tropical. But you go down there and you get wiped, blown away by a hurricane. What's the use of your trying looking for some kind of resort where you just get another kind of misery anyway? Yeah, people do that. From those of you who are not born in America. But people in America, there's more people from New York, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois living in Florida than there are Florida people. It's a fact. You can't go down to Florida and find someone who's a native Floridian. They're rare. You don't find them. Most of them have left because everybody else is coming down here. It's a fact. Everybody in Florida is from another state. Nobody's a native. Now they go down here for warm weather, but still, they have these hurricanes. So one city in Florida is called Cape Kennedy, Cape Canaveral. It's where they shoot the space rockets to try to go to the moon. So the space stations are always under threat of these hurricane winds. So they always have trouble. So Hurricane Andrew, I think it was last year, his winds were 150 miles an hour. And the space stations were built to resist winds up to 125 miles an hour. So they were kind of worried. And he was heading right for Cape Canaveral. So there was a big evacuation program, getting everybody to get out of there, and leaving a few brave souls to stay there face Andrew. So everybody was evacuating because he was heading right for that 150 miles an hour wind. The 150 miles an hour wind, that is really powerful. Man, that can pick up cars and blow them away. I mean, it's nothing for the wind. Wind is so powerful. So they were all worried. They had built their space stations only up to 125. But fortunately, by the arrangement of Andrew's mercy, he decided to take a turn in one another direction. So everyone was saved. But he took his toll. So the wind power is so strong. And sometimes you don't hear it, you know, sometimes winds go up as high as, you know, 170, 200 miles an hour. You know, out to sea. If they ever hit land at that speed, they just blow the buildings in the city would be blown to the ground. And winds can go up to 300 miles an hour. Powerful. So Arjuna is saying that I think it's easier to control the wind than it is to control the mind. And Krishna says in the next verse, He says, you're right. It is. Abhyasena tukunteya vairagya chagrihate. But it's possible. You can control the mind by constant practice and by detachment. So one has to very seriously practice the principles of Krishna consciousness regularly. To practice it for part of the day means to really not get much from that part. Krishna consciousness is an endeavor where the mind means to be key. Savai punsang parodna. I can't think of the verse. Vaikchamsi vaikunta guna navarnanam. By applying the mind and the senses in Krishna consciousness, one, Krishna reveals himself through that endeavor. So therefore, when we're chanting our japa, performing our devotional service, we have to be steady, keep that mind and senses fixed on Krishna and on devotional service, especially on chanting the holy names of the Lord. So it is an endeavor. It is an endeavor, but there's a lot of purification there. But if the living entity just lackadaisically or mechanically goes through the motions of Krishna consciousness, and then Lord Jesus Christ said, be ye hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I spit you out. We can't be lukewarm in our devotional service. We have to be fired up. Fired up means we have to be enthusiastic. And always to be eager to execute the process, no matter what it is. There was one devotee, his name was Vishnu John Maharaj. He would dance and chant, and he would sometimes go out on kirtan, and for 10 hours a day he would do Harinam Sankirtan. He would play the drum for 10 hours straight. His hands were full of bandages because he was playing the drum. And in those days, we didn't have these drums. We had the clay drums. And they're a little more rougher on your hands. So one time, one devotee asked him, he said, Vishnu John Maharaj, you're always enthusiastic. How is that? He said, it's not that I always feel enthusiastic. It's just that I act enthusiastic. And he was giving a clear understanding of how Krishna consciousness is. That by acting the way we should supposed to be, we actually start to develop that tendency. If you don't feel humble, you should act humble. If you don't feel like dancing and chanting, you should do it. If you don't feel like reading the books, you should do it. If you don't feel like chanting, you should do it. These things are natural to the soul and they're conducive to our spiritual life. So material energy, the modes of material energy, are moving our consciousness one way or the other according to that association. So sometimes we feel like, and sometimes we don't. But they come and these things come and go. So we always just to remain enthusiastic in our spiritual life. And when Krishna sees that enthusiasm, despite not feeling it, then his mercy becomes even stronger. We have to try hard. That's the process, trying hard. And that endeavor will bring about Krishna's mercy and Krishna's support. And therefore, the process means that we have to be eager for it. One has to want it more than anything else. And Krishna says, if you want something else more than that, then I'll give you that. Krishna gives you whatever you want. Whatever you want the most, you get. But you don't get Krishna. And if you don't get Krishna, you don't really feel satisfied for whatever else Krishna gives you. Because we can only be satisfied with Krishna. So that's basically here, Prabhupada is explaining that we have to approach a bona fide spiritual master and learn the science from him, who is the pure representative. But we also have to be fired up. We have to be sincere. The word in Nectar of Devotion is Lalyam. Rupa Goswami explains that the qualification for performing devotional service is Lalyam. And what is Lalyam? Lalyam means intense greed. You see, people in the material world, sometimes they want something so bad that they're willing to do anything to get it. Right? Sometimes a person wants, they want a new car. They've got their heart and mind set on this new car. They go out, sometimes they get one or two jobs. Right? They work so hard, they save their money. They don't normally spend for what they usually spend. They're saving all their money. And finally, after some time, they have enough money and they fulfill their desire. But they put everything else aside. Sometimes a person wants an education and stops going out at nights, doesn't associate with his friends anymore, just studying so hard, just to get that education. There was one boy. This is a sad story, but it's a true story. It happened about 3-4 years ago. There was one boy who was coming to our temple in Chaupati, Bombay. And he was a college student. He was in his last year of studies. And the devotees go regularly to the colleges and hold programs there once a week in the college. So he was attending the lectures. And then he was coming to the temple. And he started to chant 16 rounds. But he was down to his 3 or 4 months left in his school. He was about to graduate. So he decided, well, I'm going to stop associating with the devotees. I'm going to stop chanting Hare Krishna. I'm just going to work so hard, study, and I'm going to graduate with top grades. So he put everything else aside. He said, when I'm done with my schooling, then I'll come back. Then I'll come again and chant Hare Krishna and associate with devotees. But for these 3-4 months, I don't want to associate with devotees, I'm just going to study. So he did that. And he graduated the top in his class. Top student. He was in engineering college. So the devotees were waiting for him to graduate so they could, again, try to bring him back. So they came up to him, he graduated, he got top grades. They said, oh, okay, will you come back now and associate, chant with him? He said, well, they're having the ball party, the graduation ball, where everyone comes and they dance. I don't know what they do. They wear the nice tuxedos and the girls wear all these fancy clothes and they dance. So he said, I'm going to the party. And then after the party, then I'll come. So he was at the party. He was dancing at the party. And while he was dancing, he had a heart attack and died right on the spot. Actually, it was a medical college. He was a medical student. He was in perfect health, and at the age of 23 years old, he had a major heart attack while he was at the ball dance, and he died. And so he was thinking that I could just put my Krishna consciousness on the side and just, do everything else first. But who knows? Can we do that? Can we try to make all our material desires first and then put Krishna on hold? Later on, in life I'll be serious. Later on, I'll become more Krishna conscious. When my situation changes, But it'll never change. There will always be something in your life that will prevent you from becoming really fixed in Krishna consciousness. That's the way the material energy works. Prabhupada gives the example, the story of Narada Muni and Kailash. Have you heard the story of Kailash? This is an interesting story. You've heard it. It's a nice story. Kailash was a family man. He was quite wealthy. He was living in his house. So he was following Narada Muni. Narada Muni was trying to encourage Kailash to take up Krishna consciousness more seriously. So he would visit him regularly and try to preach to him, encourage him. So one time he came, he said, "Kailash, are you ready? Come more serious now." He said, "Well, I have my family, I have my job. I have to train my children, make them responsible, and when I do that, then I'll come more serious." So Narada left. And after some time he decided to come back and see how Kailash was doing. So he came to the house and he saw Kailash there. And the children were pretty much grown up. And Narada said, "Kailash, are you ready?" He said, "Well, I have to teach the children how to do the business nicely. They're going to take over the business, and I'm their father. If I don't teach them, who will teach them?" So, not yet. So he left. After some time, he came back. The children were taking over the business, and they had their own children. Kailash was getting older. Narada said, "Kailash, okay, it's time to go. Come." He said, "Well, you know, as hard as I try to teach my children, they don't understand how to do things right. And they have my grandchildren here, and I have to teach them how to raise their grandchildren. My grandchildren, their children. If I don't do it, who will do it?" So, not now. Come back. So Narada left. Narada was determined, "I'm going to make this person Krishna conscious." So after some time he came back, and the grandchildren were grown up. The children had their own children, they were grown. So he looked around and he said to the grandchildren, "Well, where's your grandfather?" "Oh, Kailash, he died." Narada was feeling so bad. "Oh, I lost another one." It's sad, you know. The spiritual master loses a disciple, it breaks his heart. It really breaks his heart. So he was walking out, and he was walking across the property, and he hears this sound. "Hey, Narada, psst. Narada, over here, psst." So he looks around, he doesn't see anything. He says, "Over here." And he sees a dog. Kailash said, "Yes, it's me. I'm a dog." He took birth as a dog. So Narada said, "Kailash, are you ready now?" He said, "Well, you know, I have to guard the estate. There's so many dangerous elements out here. If I don't guard the estate, you know, anybody could take advantage of my children." So Narada said, "Phew." He just left. So he decided, "Let me go back one more time and just see what happened." So after some time he came back. And he's walking around the property, he's looking around, he's looking for the dog, he can't find the dog anywhere. So he goes into the house and he says, "Where's that dog you had out there?" "Oh, that dog, he died." So Narada is feeling even more sad. So he starts to walk away and he hears this sound. "Hey, Narada, psst. It's me, Kailash." He doesn't see anything. And then he goes, "Psst, over here in the bushes." And he sees a snake. Kailash became a snake. So he said, Narada said to him, Kailash, you ready now? He said, well, you know, I have to guard the estate. Somebody has to do it. So Narada said, I'm going to fix this guy. So he goes into the house and says to the children, you know you have a snake in your yard? Oh, a snake. So they grab some sticks. So they came out and they start beating their grandfather. And Narada said to the Kailash in the form of a snake, are you ready now? Kailash said, yeah, I'm ready now. Prabhupada tells this story. This is from Srila Prabhupada. And he illustrates that this story is that there's always some reason why we can't be serious in our Krishna consciousness. I have to do this first, 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 I have to do this first. Then when I get that done, then I can become more serious. But Maya will just keep leading the conditioned soul into one excuse after another. I've seen it, even in our society. We find it all the time. It's always in the future I'll be more serious. In the future I'll chant more with the devotees. I'll chant more seriously. I'll do more service. But it's just Maya's trick. Now is the time to become Krishna conscious. And you'll find that when you become Krishna conscious, even if you have so many desires, so many plans, Krishna will fulfill those. We don't have to do those separately. We just have to become serious in our Krishna consciousness. When we do that, then Krishna will provide whatever we need. He says that, Anayan chintayastu mam ye janai payupasate tesam nitya vayutanam yogashema vahami aham. I carry what you lack, I preserve what you have. You simply surrender to me, and I will take care of anything. You find that the more you become Krishna conscious, the more you have all your problems are solved. So our real duty in life is to put our time, energy, and effort in becoming Krishna conscious. And whatever else we want to do in life, Krishna will help us. No question. There's no doubt. With that faith in Krishna, will be there. And you'll see, he gives you the intelligence, he gives you the directions, he even gives you the facility to do whatever else you need to do, if it's for your benefit. Of course, he doesn't always give you things that are against your best interest. So if there's something against the best interest of a devotee, Krishna will frustrate that. He'll try to stop that, but if you're determined to do something even against your own best interest, not knowing it's against your best interest, Krishna will allow you to do that until you experience it. You get burnt, fried, and it just falls apart, and then you run back to Krishna. So Krishna allows you to do that too. So ultimately, if we simply surrender to Krishna in the form of following the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, make our life one of devotion to Krishna. Taktva deham purnan janma naiti mameti sarjana. We don't have to come back to this crazy material world. Adibo Dr. Ram Hare Krishna. We are blessed by your presence. Thank you for coming and joining us today. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions, comments? We'll stop there. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.